Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 4 lines from the top. In the Mishnah that we learned at the end of our previous shiur, the lower part of Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah dealt with the number of trumpet blasts, that took place in the Beis HaMikdash, and we saw no less than 21 per day and no more than 48. In listing the different occasions for blowing the tekios, the blasts, no mention was made in our Mishnah of a blowing at the 10th stair. The Mishnah made reference to Sukkot trumpetings, but unlike the Mishnah we saw on Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, where there was a trumpeting at the 10th stair, in our Mishnah no mention was made of that particular location. So our Gemara opens first the Dibur Maskil, 4 lines from the top, Erev Shabbos Shebesoich HaChag. That was one of the subdivisions of our Mishnah Nun Gimel Amud Beis, which dealt with shofar blowings during the Sukkot holiday. The Ilu Lamalo Asiris Lo Katani, a trumpeting on the 10th stair, was not mentioned, as opposed to the Mishnah on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, it was. Mas Nisan Moni, so our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Answer, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yankifi, our Mishnah would be authored by Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yankif de Sanya. Shalosh Lamalo Asiris, 3 trumpetings on the 10th stair, that's the first opinion, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yankif Omer, Shalosh Al Gabi Mizbeach, 3 trumpetings on the Mizbeach. And Rashi explains, on the Mizbeach is a reference to the time that they would stand up the Arovas around the Mizbeach. So at that point, when they stood the Arovas, which was part of the mitzvahs of Sukkot, the mitzvah of Arova, so there were 3 shofar sounds, or 3 trumpeting sounds. The opinion that says 10th stair would not have a trumpeting at the Agabi Mizbeach. The Omer Agabi Mizbeach, the opinion of Rebbe Lozer Ben Yankiv, who says that there would be trumpetings for the Al-Gabi HaMizbeach, Eino Omer Lamalo Asiris. So as far as he is concerned, there is no blowing on the there's no trumpeting when they reach the 10th stair. And the 10th stair was a reference to the ceremony surrounding the Nisuch HaMayim, the water libation. My time the Rebbe Lozer Ben Yankiv, why does he, deny a shofar blowing, a trumpeting for the 10th stair? Answer, Kevan de Toka Psicha Shorim, since there was a blowing for the opening of the gates, Lamala Siris, Lamali de Toka, why should there be a blowing for the 10th stair? Hai, Lav, Sharhu, it's not a gate. It's just there in the middle. Hilkoch Agabi Hamizbech Odif. Therefore, blowing by the Mizbeach, that is better. So maybe call it a more definitive location. Verabonon Savri, the Rabbonon hold, Kevon Tetoka Lamilui Hamayim, since they blow for the filling up of the water from the Shiloach for the purpose of the water libation of Nisuch HaMayim, Al-Gabi HaMizbeach Lomali. Why should there be a blowing? Lomali, there's a Rashi adds a couple words, Loma li detoka. Why should there be a blowing for by the Mizbeach? Ha toka le lemiloi mayim. They blew for the filling of the water. And explained by Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi together. It's in the upper part of the narrow lines. Hochi garsinon legabi mizbeach loma li detoka. Ha toka le lemiloi hamayim. Kol tkios halalu shel shar ha'elyon v'tachton v'shar ha'mayim. All of these blowings by the upper gate, the lower gate, v'shar and the entrance, the what was called the water gate, the entrance to the azora with the water. Mishum miloi ha'mayim hu. It's all in honor of the filling of the water for the purpose of the nisuch ha'mayim. Hilkoch la'arova lomali tkia. Why should there be a blowing for the standing up of the arovas around the mizbeach? All of these added trumpetings during the musaf of Sukkis, Einon, Elo, Mishum, Shaftim, by Besoson. It's in honor of, it's based on the pasuk that says, you shall draw the water in joy, and the trumpeting adds to the joy. Since there is a tradition that on Sukkot there is an additional 12 tekios. Lamalo ha'asiris adif lemevad, for the 10th stair, as they were descending on their way to draw the water, is better. The mukha milsa shein mishumi lemayim. It's clear that it's related to the drawing of the water. Shotokea lekulon al dover hamilui keseder. All of the blowings are in honor and commemoration of, or in anticipation of, the filling of the water from the stream. And the choice of the 10th stair is because 10 is a round number. It's a moko mesuyim. It's a definitive location. Leida hechan token osam, to know where to add a third, an additional 3 blowings. So we see so far then that as far as Rebbe Elozer ben Yankiv is concerned, we prefer around the Mizbeach as opposed to the 10th stair, because as far as he is concerned, the 10th stair is not a sufficiently definitive location. It's not a gate. The Rabbana, on the other hand, say that since all the blowings all these added blowings are in commemoration of the filling of the water, so let's keep it in the family, so to speak, and not have a set of blowings that's not related to the filling of the water. At this point, we start a new discussion, and it's a rather lengthy discussion by way of dapim, you'll see, and it goes to daf nun hey omen aleph, and we have a nosei, a topic heading on the side, and it reads, E toikim al kol musaf u musaf. Is there a necessity of blowing an additional 9 tkios per Korban Musaf? We saw in our Mishnah on Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis that when there was a Musaf, so an additional 9 blasts were trumpeted. So on a Shabbos where you have Musaf, a Musaf Korban, an additional Korban besides or in addition to the daily morning and afternoon sacrifice, so there's an additional set. What about a day where there are multiple Korban Musafs? For example, Shabbos that falls out, that coincides with Rosh Chodesh, or Sukkis Chol HaMoed Shabbos. Shabbos necessitates a Musaf, and Sukkis necessitates a Musaf. So, for 2 Musafim, will there now be 18 blasts? Well, Rav Acha Bar Chanina is of the opinion that yes, for each additional Musaf, there is an additional set of blasts. So let's see this in the Gemara. We have, of course, you can see a firebox marking around Rav Acha, because he is the central theme of this discussion that lasts till the lower part of Daf Nun Hei Omed Aleph, a very long discussion, and a firebox signifies either an idea or an opinion, a name that will hold us hold our attention for a long time. So we continue in the Gemara. Ki also Rav Acha Bar Chanina midoroma, he came from the south. Aisi masnisi biodehi, he brought a Tanaic source, And you can see we have a framed few lines. That's the Tanaic source that he taught. And then after the source, it says, Hutoni Lavahu Omar Law. He stated the source, and then he offers his explanation for the source. What will happen in this sugya is he will come under fire. His explanation will be challenged. His explanation is that from this source we are expected to learn that there's an additional 9 blasts per musaf offering, and on a day where there are multiple musafim, so you have multiple sets of 9 blasts per musaf. That will be challenged as we go along, and as a result of that, it will be up to the Gemara then to give an alternative pshat, an alternative explanation to this source that Rav Acha brings in. Mirtz Hashem, we will see the alternative explanation toward the end of the sukkah. In the meantime, we said that Rav Acha presents a source, and it reads, "Uvnei Aaron Akoyanim Yisku B'Chatzotzros." And the children of Aaron, the Kohanim, will trumpet the trumpets. She'ein tamad lomar yiske'u. There is no obvious necessity for adding the word yiske'u to this pasuk. Shekvar ne'emar uskatem b'chatzotzros al olo seichem v'al zivchei shalmeichem. We already have a pasuk that commands a blowing of trumpets when the sacrifices are offered. So what does this pasuk add? Hakol lefi hamusafim token. That's what it says in the source, that everything is according to the musafim. Hutani lavu amala, he stated it, and he also explained lomar, that this we'll call vague expression of hakol lefi hamusafim means shetoken al kol musafu musaf. That an additional set of tkiyas is necessitated by the presence of additional musafin on a given day. Now, as we go on in the Gemara, you'll notice we have a marking, a mivneh, a structural note on the side, and we indicate this structure will continue to nun hey omet aleph. Triangles will appear, and they represent Sidra Shel Kushyos al Rav Acha, a series of questions on Rav Acha. The Omar Toikin al Kol Musafu Musaf. So, for the sake of just, let's say, structural feel, our recommendation is just scan ahead, try to see where the triangles appear, the diamonds appear. We've kept a numbering scheme running down the right hand side of the Gemara text. The third triangle you'll notice is at the lower part of Nun Dalanoid base, basically the second wide line there. And if you can scroll ahead till Nun Hey Omen Aleph, you'll notice that you have 4 and 5 as well. So throughout the sugya, you're going to remember Rav Acha's Shita, that when you have a day that has multiple musafim, an additional set of tkiyas are to be heard, and we're going to challenge that. So we start, we have a quote, Tonan. This is a quote from our Mishnah. Erev Shabbos Shebesoch HaChag, Friday in the middle of Sukkis, Hoyu Shom Mem Ches, or Arboy Mishmoina. The Mishnah was attempting to show maximum number of tkiyas on a given day, could reach 48, and that will take place on a Friday in the middle of Sukkis. And the Mishnah spelled out each number, each set of tkiyas, how we get to 48. Now, the question is, im isa, if it's so that you blow for each musaf offering, and the goal of our Mishnah was to show the maximum number that could be reached, well, then let our Mishnah teach the following case. Shabbos Shebesoch HaChag, that would be a Shabbos in the middle of Sukkis, Mishkachas Lo Chamshin V'chad. You could reach 51 shofar blasts, the Chatzotzos blasts, the trumpetings, 51. And you might ask, well, how do you get to 51? We had 48 on the Friday Sukkis case. Well, very simply, the 48 of Sukkis, Friday Sukkis, there were six that were Friday oriented. They were designed to announce to the people to stop doing their malacha. It's Friday going into Shabbos, and to announce that it's now we're the transition point from Chol to Kodesh. L'havdil ben Kodesh l'Chol. So obviously, those six are not necessary for Shabbos itself. So take six off of 48, you get down to 42. But now, of those 42, by the way, there was nine that were for the Sukkis Musaf. However, now it's not only Sukkis, but it's Sukkis Shabbos. So let us add nine for the Shabbos Musaf. So we should be going now from 42 plus 9 for Shabbos. 42 and 9 is 51. That's a larger number than that which the Mishnah itself reports. The Mishnah thought it was teaching us 48 as the highest number of tkios. No. If Rav Acha Bar Chanino is correct, that you blow for multiple musafim, separate sets of tkios, then Shabbos, Shebesocha Chag, you've got two musafim. You've got the musaf of Sukkis and the musaf of Shabbos. That would get you to 51. So as far as that question is concerned, you can see we have now a new marking. We have triangles. And on the side, they represent Shnei Tshuvas. La Sheila Ravacha Lomo Lo Nechshav Shabbos Shebesocha Chag. So the question once again is, why isn't Shabbos in the middle of Sukkis mentioned in the Mishnah to get me 51, which would be even more impressive than the 48 that the Mishnah cited? Omar Rebbe Zera, Lefi She'ein Toikin L'Psichas She'orim B'Shabbos. Rabbi Zera says that on Shabbos I have to subtract three that we originally accounted for the opening of the gates. Well, then I'm going to take my 51, knock off three, I'm down to 48. So I wouldn't be gaining anything by featuring Shabbos on Sukkis any more than Friday Sukkis. Omar Rava. Now, Rava raises a question. It's a long, we have a long question marking, and there are actually two questions that are included here. He says, Man ha delo chosh lekimcha. This is a phrase. We don't have to translate it literally, but it means, who is it that's not careful with his learning? Literally, it has to be, who is not careful with his flour? When you sift flour, you want to make sure the debris stays out of your sifting. And someone who's not careful, so debris falls in. So who is it that's not careful with his learning? Chada, one objection, the b'chol yom tanan, regarding the blowings, the trumpetings for the opening of the gates, the Mishnah said, b'chol yom, and every day there was a minimum of 21 tkiyas, and the first set of three tkiyas in that part of the Mishnah was shalosh l'psicha shorim. So every day means including Shabbos. So how can Rabbi Zero say that there's no blowing for Psichas Shorim, of opening of the gates, on a Shabbos? V'yoid, inami kadodi minhu. And furthermore, even if we were to accept Rabbi Zero's answer that there's no blowing for the opening of the gates, and that Shabbos would be 48, just like a Friday, listening Shabbos Shebesocha Chag Hoyu Shom Arba Mishmoina, the Mishnah should have taught Shabbos in the middle of Sukkis, there are 48. And you know what I'll gain if you teach me that? The Shabbos Mino Tarti. There are two chidushim that I could learn, two novel points, and that's of great value to us, to learn new points. What are the two chidushim? Shabbos Mino de Rebbe Elezer Ben Yaakov. The Mishnah would be ruling like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov that there's no blowing for on the tenth stair. There's only al gabi mizbeach, which is what the Mishnah has said. And v'shamis mino the Rav Acha bar Chanina. And I would also learn his din that in order to get to the 48 of Shabbos Shebesocha Chag, I had to have an additional 9 blasts for the Shabbos Musaf, in addition to the Sukkos Musaf. So I would have learned his din, that token I'll call Musaf a Musaf. So there would have been value in teaching Shabbos Shebesocha Chag. Elo Omar Rava. So Rava explains, why doesn't it teach Shabbos Shebesocha Chag? Lefi she'ein toikin lemilui mayim b'Shabbos. Because all of the blasts that were associated with the filling up of the water, those are not done on Shabbos. And that will include Shar Elyon, Shar Tachtoin, Shalosh Lemilui Mayim. That will include all of those, the Batsri Tuva. You end up losing many. So that, well, you're not going to get to 48. You're going to actually have to subtract from that quite a few trumpetings that would have been done on a regular day of Sukkos. If you recall, we've learned in the past that when it comes to the water libation on Shabbos, the water was prepared on Friday. Rashi, by the way, he points out all of those that would have been subtracted. And he mentions them 4 lines from the bottom. Ubatsri lutuva, many would be, I would be missing many, many, it would end up many less than 48. Kol ha-nesofes b'chag, Rashi enumerates, the shar elyoin, the shar v'tachtoin, the shar hamayim. Each one of those is 3. Ulegabi mizbeach. And those 3 were legabi mizbeach. Of course, that was what we saw Rebbe Elozer ben Yankov's opinion was, but that on Shabbos wouldn't be blown. Let's continue now in the Gemara. A new question, number 2. V'lisni nami Rosh Hashanah shechal yois b'Shabbos? If Rav Acha bar Chanina is correct, that you blow for each musaf, and our Mishnah had an interest in telling us a maximum number of tkiyas that could be heard on a day. Rosh Hashanah that coincides with Shabbos would get me to a very high number of tkiyas. The ha'ika tlosa musafin. Rosh Hashanah on coinciding with Shabbos actually has 3 musaf sacrifices, and what are they? Musaf to Rosh Hashanah, Musaf to Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Hashanah is the first of Tishrei, it's the beginning of a month also. So in addition to it being the beginning of the year, it's the beginning of a month, and Musaf to Shabbos. And it happens to be Shabbos, so you have 3 times 9, there's 27 tkiyas just for the Musafin, and you can add that to the 21 of any day that are heard on every day anyway, 27, and 21 is 48. So why does, and of course, that would show us Rabbi Rav Acha bar Chanina to be correct. So why doesn't the Mishnah teach that case? The Gemara answers, Erev Shabbos Shebesocha Chag Itz Dewichilei Lashminen. The Mishnah wanted to teach the 48 regarding the Friday on Sukkos, Kidder Rav Elozer ben Yankov, to convey that point. The Mishnah enumerates them, and it does not mention Malo Asiris in accordance with Rav Elozer ben Yankov. The Gemara asks, Otu Miko Omar, did I say Lisni Ha Velo Lisni Ha? To teach only Erev Shabbos Shabbos Chag, and not to teach the case of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. Lisni ha, v'lisni ha. Teach both cases. Teach the case you wanted to teach, namely Erev Shabbos Shebesocha Chag with its 48. And teach me the case of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos with its 48. The Gemara answers, Tana v'shir. In other words, you're right. It could have taught, or it could have added the case of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos, The Tana, though, teaches one case where you see 48, and it left out, not because it wanted to exclude it, it just left out. Now, when you see this answer throughout Shas, it's an acceptable answer only if you can prove that two items were left out. When a Mishnah teaches something, and if it were just to leave out one example, one additional example, we would say that was deliberate. It taught one example and deliberately left out the other example. However, if you can say that the Mishnah taught a particular example and there were a couple of other examples it could have taught but didn't teach it, that is legitimate, and it simply indicates that the Mishnah didn't want to be like some type of merchant displaying all his wares. It used one example when there were other examples. So, once again, if you want to validate Rosh Hashanah, Shechados B'Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah Kohen Sanhedrin B'Shabbos as a legitimate example, and of course thereby defending the position of Rav Acha Bar Chanina, and you want to say the Mishnah could have taught it, just left it out, you've got to show me another case that the Mishnah could have taught and left out. So the Gemara asks, and you can see my shir the high shir, that's the next issue. That's what the Gemara is going to deal with. However, we have a major structural issue to deal with right now. You notice we dashed underline this ton of a shir. We want to emphasize that as far as question number two is concerned, the Gemara gave an answer. That's an answer. So that as far as question number two is concerned, Rav Acha Bar Chanina is still all right. He has his answer. Tana v'shir. You'll notice we have a double set of brackets. If we look at the long brackets, the extent of the curlicue shaped brackets, try to see the bracket. Watch the bracket length indicator. It's a vertical dash dotted line, and try to follow how far it goes. You'll notice it goes to the second wide line of Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Now, if you do this skip, what you can see then immediately is a new diamond. Again, so we have a scheme over here. We had the diamonds are questions on Rav Acha Bar Chanina. We asked question one. He was defended. We asked question two. We answered Tana v'Shir. And that will bring you to question three. Meisvei, where it says Rosh Chodesh Shechalios B'Shabbos. Another question on Rav Acha Bar Chanina. So that's point one as far as structure is concerned. In addition, we have an angular brackets. Now, these angular brackets are not here really for skipping purposes. Even though, as it goes with all brackets, if you skip it, you'll still see a structural phenomenon, and we'll show you that momentarily. But we have a note on the side. Sograyim elu, the angular brackets, einam l'shem diluk. It's not for skipping purposes. Maybe the curlicue brackets were for skipping purposes. We demonstrated already, see that you can see the continued series of questions. However, these are not really for skipping. Ela laharos, but what we want to accomplish with this is to show the ad kan ikur hatshuva, the she'elo number two. Up till this point, we read the ikur, the main answer to question number two. Lama b'masnisan lo kotani Rosh Hashanah shechalios b'Shabbos. The question had been, why doesn't the Mishnah teach that case? The tirates tana v'shir, and it gave the answer of tana v'shir. The socha sograyim within the brackets, the angular brackets, hagemora mevareres hatshuva the tana v'shir. The Gemara clarifies that answer. The kidei shizu tiskabu ketshuva, in order for Tana v'shir to be an acceptable answer, tzorich lios od shiur, there has to be something else that was left out. My shir, the high shir, that's the standard form of the Gemara. What else was left out that this was left out? Namely, in our case, the case of Rosh Hashanah shechayos b'shabbos. For lozeh haGemara oine b'shnei shlavim, the Gemara will answer that in two stages, and we used numbering for that. Now, as we go through this section, the angular brackets, we'll have a ma'akav marking. This is accomplished through the volcano shape that you'll see in alternating directions. With the narrow part facing upwards, these are kushos, these are questions, and when it's inverted, those will be tshuvos, answers. So we turn to the Gemara. My shir, the high shir. What else was left out by the Mishnah that it felt it could leave out the example of Rosh Hashanah Shechal B'Shabbos? The answer, and this is stage one, Shir Erev HaPesach. It left out the example of the 14th of Nisan. The 14th of Nisan is the day when the Korban Pesach is offered. And on that day, there are 48 shofar. There are 48 trumpetings. Now, how do you get the 48 trumpetings? First of all, there's a 21 of the basic day. In addition to the 21 of the basic day, when the Korban Pesach was sacrificed, it was sacrificed in the Beis HaMikdash in groups where the population was divided into three major groups. When the first major group entered, and you're talking about tens of thousands of people and maybe even more, you can see the Gemara in, I believe in Psachim, gives the impression that it could be, there were times that it were hundreds of thousands, if maybe even a million people. So you had many, many Korban Pesachs being offered. When the Korban Pesachs were being offered, so Hallel was recited. When each opening of the Hallel prayer, there were three blasts, three trumpetings. Now, each group, we said there were three major groups, during the offering of the Pesach by each group, there were three cycles of Hallel recited. So, three groups, each group, three cycles of Hallel, and each cycle of Hallel is three trumpetings. So that if you have three sets of Hallel, 3 times 3, 9. And that's for one group. But there were three groups. So 3 times 9, 27. So what Erev Pesach represents to us is, in addition to the 21 of the daily trumpetings, Erev Pesach, you'll add another 27. 21 and 27 is 48. So there's another example of 48 trumpetings. And the Mishnah did not teach it, so it left that case out. The Gemara says, no, this is not a candidate for being left out. E mishum erev haPesach. Notice the volcano is narrow up, so this is a question we're asking. That's not a candidate for a leave-out. If that's your candidate, it's not left out. It doesn't belong in the Mishnah to begin with. Lav shiurahu. It's not something that was left out, nor in i.e. it could have been taught, but the Mishnah simply didn't bother listing it. It couldn't have been listed. The Hamani, our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehudahi. Our Mishnah is in accordance with the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, and he says, before we read the source, what he will tell you is that it's true the Korban Pesach was offered by Klal Yisrael in three groups. The third group, however, was small in size. so that the Hallel recitation that took place there, all that was needed was they began the Hallel, and by the time they reached the middle of the Hallel, they reached the paragraph known as Ohavti Ki Yishma, which is say halfway through the Hallel, there were no more Korban Pesach. They finished. So that number wise, you have two groups that were full size groups, 2 times 9, because each group there were 3 Hallel recitations, so it's 2 times 9. That's 18. The third group, though, opened the Hallel, didn't even finish it, so that will give you another 3 trumpetings, because the trumpeting took place at the beginning of each Hallel recitation. So you have 18 for the 2 full-size groups, and plus 3, 21. Add that to the daily 21, it's only 42. Well, 42 is much smaller number than the maximum number we are looking into, the 48. So our Mishnah, it being in accordance with the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, Erev Pesach doesn't even serve as a candidate. It's not a leave out. What do we leave out? We leave out something that could have been taught. It couldn't have been taught in the first place. We continue reading the source. The Omar Rebbe Yehuda says, Miyameim shel kas shlishis, in all of the history of the third group, lo higia loimar avti ki yishma Hashem, they didn't even get to saying that paragraph, which is in the middle of the Hallel, mitnei shehoyu amo mu'otim, because the population of that third group was very few in number. So they finished all their Korban Pesachs during the time it took them just to say the first couple opening paragraphs of the Hallel, and that's it. So at this point, then we have a difficulty. We thought we could have given the answer that in addition to the Rosh Hashanah case, Rosh Hashanah Shnofal B'Shabbos, Erev Pesach was left out, and we just say no, it wasn't left out. It couldn't have been in there in the first place. And why not? Because our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara responds. This is an answer. There's a girsa on the side that says v'ho amris, or you can read the Gemara text itself, ho ukimna, the loka Rebbe Yehuda. We said that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda. Our Mishnah used numbers 21 to 48. We discussed this in our last year at the Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara pointed out, according to Rebbe Yehuda, the numbers are 7. The minimum number is 7. Maximum number is 16. And we explained why he reached those numbers. But our Mishnah gave us 21 to 48. His numbers were one-third in size. They were 7 to 16. So we're back to allowing the Erev Pesach case to be one of the examples that the Mishnah could have taught, and it simply decided to leave it out, along with the Rosh Hashanah case. The Gemara raises a question now. How can you be so sure that our Mishnah is not Rebbe Yehuda just because of the number issue? The Dilma Haitana Sovar Lo Kavose Bechada Upologole Bechada. It could be that our Mishnah holds like Rebbe Yehuda on one score and disagrees with him on another score. In other words, our Mishnah might very well accept Rebbe Yehuda's approach to the Korban Pesach and that there were only 21 trumpetings as a result of the Korban Pesach. The third group was very small, and disagrees with Rebbe Yehuda regarding the number of shofar blasts, the 21-48 issue. There, he disagrees. Now, if you say that, then the Pesach, Erev Pesach case couldn't have been taught, and we're back to the question, Elamai Shir Dahai Shir. So then, what else was left out in addition to the Rosh Hashanah case that justifies leaving it out? And just to remind you, it was important to have the Rosh Hashanah case as being a candidate, because that defends Rav Acha Bar Chanina's point of a separate blast for each Musaf. The Gemara answers, this is the second stage of answering and defending Rav Acha Bar Chanina. Shir Erev HaPesach Shechal Liyos BeErev Shabbos. It left out this case where you could have reached a large number of trumpetings. The case of Erev Pesach, the 14th of Nisan, that falls out on a Friday. Not Erev Pesach in the middle of the week. Erev Pesach in the middle of the week, so we said you'd get only up to 42, because you had 21 of the basic, and 21 and plus 21 for the Rebbe Yehuda shofar blowings. 21 and 21 is 42. That is Erev Pesach in the middle of the week. However, Erev Pesach on Friday, remember on Friday you've got an extra 6 blowings because of the ushering in of Shabbos. So apikshis, you can subtract the 6 that we lost because of the third group having only one hallel recitation resulting in 3 instead of 9 shofar blowings or trumpetings. So you lose those 6 v'ayil shis, but they can be replaced. Bring in shis the 6 of lahavdil esol mimalacha and lahavdil ben kodesh l'chol, the Friday special 6 trumpetings. So at this point, what do we have? Rav Acha bar Chinin is fine as far as why didn't the Mishnah mention the Rosh Hashanah case, which would have shown his position. The answer is it could have taught it, but it didn't. Tana v'shir, it taught the case of Sukkis case. Of Erev Shabbos Shebesocha Chag, where there were 48. It did not teach the Rosh Hashanah case, but it also didn't teach the Erev Shabbos Erev Pesach case as well. And that's legitimate. So, as we said, as far as the general structure of the Gemara is concerned, Rav Acha bar Chanina is still fine. We continue now with a quote from the Mishnah, but bear in mind, we're going to go through this section of Gemara. Eventually, we get to the second wide line. We're going to go back to questioning Rav Acha bar Chanina. We continue now. V'ein moisifin al memches. Our Mishnah said you will not have more than 48. The Gemara asks, "V'lo, is that so? V'ha'al iko erev ha-pesach shechal yois b'shabes." The 14th of Nisan, which is Korban Pesach time, that comes out on a Shabbos. The E, the Rebbe Yehuda, if you were to accept Rebbe Yehuda, Chamshin V'chada, you're going to have 51. How do you get to that? Well, you've got the 21 of every day. And you have 9 for the Musaf, and the 21 for the Korban Pesach. So that's 21 and 21 is 42, and the 9 because of the Musaf of Shabbos. So 42 plus 9 is 51. E l'Rabbanon, Chamshin v'sheva. And if you go according to the Rabbanon, you're going to be adding not 21 like Rebbe Yehuda, but you're going to be adding 27, 3 times 9. So why isn't that case mentioned? The Mishnah said you get up only to maximum 48. Here we're giving you an example. You can get to 51, 57, it's much more. Answer, ki katoni. The Mishnah, when it teaches what it does, midi di'isei b'chol shana, something that comes out every year. Erev ha-pesach shechaz b'shabes, delesei b'chol shana b'shana, lo katoni. The odd case, or the rare case of Shabbos being the 14th of Nisan is, as he says, rare. The Mishnah does not teach cases other than those that happen every year. Question. Otu Erev Shabbos Shebesoy HaChag Mi Ise B'chol Shana? The case of the 48 that our Mishnah taught was that very situation of Friday in the middle of Sukkis. Does that happen every year? It doesn't happen every year, and yet the Mishnah teaches it.
Zimnin delo mishkachas lei. You could have a case where you don't have Friday that is in the middle of Sukkot. Vehechi domi, how would that be that Friday is not in the middle of Sukkot? Kegon shechal yom tov rishon be'erev Shabbos, where the beginning of Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, was on a Friday. That being the case, so you don't have the shofar blowings for that were characteristic of Shabbos of a Friday in the middle and on a Friday weekday situation. This is Friday that happens to be the first day of Sukkot itself, so you wouldn't have those extra Friday shofar blowings. So the question then it comes back, and if you're telling me that the Mishnah teaches only things that happen every year, the case that the Mishnah features of Friday in the middle of Sukkot, that doesn't happen necessarily every year. The Gemara says it does, because ki mekal'inon yom tov rishon be'erev Shabbos, if that would come out, mekal'inon means that we would chance upon or arrive upon a case like that, where the first day of Sukkot is coincides with a Friday, we wouldn't allow that to happen. Midchi dachinon lei. That means that in establishing the calendar, they would make sure that it's pushed ahead one day, that Sukkot doesn't start on a Friday, it would have to start on a Shabbos. And they would accomplish that by adding a day to the previous month, to the month of Elul. My time off. Why is that so? That they would push it off. They wouldn't allow Friday to be the first day of Sukkot. The answer is, Kevon de'iklo yom tov rishon shel chag leos be'erev Shabbos, if the first day of Sukkot would be on a Friday, and the first day of Sukkot is the 15th of the month, yom ha'kippurim emas have, yom kippur, which is a few days before, which is the 10th of the month, 5 days earlier, so what day of the week would yom kippur fall out on? Bechad b'Shabbos, it would come out on a Sunday. And that we cannot allow, as is explained in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. We're not going to get into the details, just take it for right now at face value. We don't allow Sunday, we don't have Sundays as Yom Kippur. So since it's a given that Sundays are not going to, we're not allowing Sundays to be Yom Kippur, so Friday cannot be the first day of Sukkot. And once again, if you're wondering why Sundays cannot be Yom Kippur, that is dealt with in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. Hilkoch dochinon lei. Therefore, it will be pushed off, and therefore the case of Erev Shabbos shebesoch hachag always happens. And the Mishnah therefore taught it, and it didn't teach the cases before 51 and 57, which was the Erev Pesach on a Shabbos. That is rare. Now the Gemara asks, you just answered with this idea of things are pushed off. Umi dochinon lei. Would we push it off? Would we make sure that Yom Kippur does not come out on a Sunday? Notice it's a long question. The Hotnan, we have a Tanaic source. It says Chelvei Shabbos, the remains of Shabbos sacrifices. If they offered an afternoon Shabbos daily sacrifice called the Tomet Shel Bein Arbayim, that's the afternoon of Shabbos, Kraven B'Yom HaKippurim, parts of the korban, the limbs of it's a korban olah, so the entire sacrifice is put on the Zvech. If they didn't offer it on Shabbos, if they didn't put it in the fire on Shabbos, they put it on Yom Kippur, meaning it's the next day. So you see that Yom Kippur follows Shabbos coming out on a Sunday. The Yomer Rabbi Zera, and Rabbi Zera points out, Ki avinon be Rav be Bavel, when I was learning by Rav in Bavel, in the yeshiva in Bavel, have amri, they used to say, Ha Desanya. They used to say that the following source, we call source number two, it appears in a frame. They, in Bavel, used to hold that this source was according to all opinions. He will go on to tell us, however, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, I found the scholars over there telling me that this source was in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Whatever the case is, that's a detail. But what we're going to see here is that Yom Kippur does come out on a Sunday. So the basic question is, if Yom Kippur does come out on a Sunday, that shows that we don't push off these holidays from those respective dates or days of the week. And as a result of that, the question of the Mishnah teaching something that happens every year is not really so. And if that's the case, so why didn't the Mishnah teach the case of Erev Pesach coming out on Shabbos? So let's read this now inside. So when Rabbi Zera, he came, Rabbi Zera said that when he was learning in Bavel, they used to say, Ha Desanya, the source number two, Yom HaKippurim Shechal Yois, Yom Kippur that falls out, and there are two cases. Erev Shabbos, if there was Yom Kippur Erev Shabbos, Lo Hayu Toikin, the special Erev Shabbos trumpetings did not take place. After all, it's Yom Kippur. Uvamotzoi Shabbos, if Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday, Lo Hayu Mavdilin, there was no Havdolah. Havdolah is what we recite every Saturday night. It's even recited between Shabbos and an ushering in of another holiday, Pesach or Sukkot, because Havdolah is recited when you're descending in sanctity. You're going from a higher level down to a lower level. But when you're going from Shabbos into Yom Kippur, you're moving to a parallel level of sanctity. Well, that shows you very clearly that Yom Kippur comes out on a Sunday. It's quite possible for that to happen. So Rabbi Zera says that this Tanaic source, they said in Bavel with Divrei HaKol, he was in accordance with all opinions. Ki slikis lahasam, when I went up there to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachte l'Rabbi Yehuda b'Reid Rabbi Shimon Pasi d'Yosef v'Koma Rabbi Akiva. I met Rabbi Yehuda saying that this Tanaic source was in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Akiva. That, as I said, as I try to emphasize, is all detail. The main thing is, what do you see? You see that first day of Sukkot could very well be on a Friday. And if that's the case, the example of the mission of Yom of Erev Shabbos Shebesocha Chag is not something that happens every year. The Gemara answers, it does happen every year. Erev Shabbos Shebesocha Chag. Well, what about these sources indicating Yom Kippur comes out on a Sunday and Friday could be the first day of Sukkot? Lo Kashya, Ha Rabbonon, Ha Acherim Hi. There are two different approaches to calendar establishing. And therefore, our Mishnah is accordance with the Rabbonon, where you do have this freedom to move dates ahead if necessary. In other words, to move days ahead if necessary. And instead of Yom Kippur coming out on a Sunday, we're going to make sure to push it ahead to fall out on Monday. And we said before that's by adjusting the length of the month of Elul, adding a day to the month of Elul so that everything, as the time goes on, starts a day later. And because of that, our mission is, of course, Rabbonon. So the case of Sukkot is coming out a Friday, that is. Friday will always come out in the middle of Sukkot, as we answered earlier. So that our Mishnah does mention things that happen every year, and therefore it didn't bother mentioning the 51 and the 57 case of Erev Pesach coming out on Shabbos, because that is rare. And now we go on with the source in which the position of the Acherim is, that says, in fact, you don't move things ahead, and which will be the basis of the of the sources that we saw, the one and two sources we saw in the last 10 lines, where Yom Kippur would come out on a Sunday, and we wouldn't adjust things. That's the sheet of the Achirim in calendar making. The Sanya, Achirim Oimrim. The Achirim hold Ein Bein Atzeres Latzeres, Ein Bein Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, Elo Arbo Yomim Bilvad. It sounds a bit obscure, but it means very simply. If Atzeres means Shavuos, if the holiday of Shavuos begins, just say, using an example, on Sunday this year, it will come out 4 days later next year, 4 days later in the week next year. Of course, it's the same date on the calendar, but it will come out 4 days later. It will come out on Thursday. And why is that? Because, as far as the Achirim are concerned, the month lengths are fixed, and you cannot tamper with them. They are 29, 30 days in length alternating. 29, 30, 29, 30. And if you do the arithmetic, and you add up, let's say 29 and 30 is 59. You go 6 times 59, because 59 represents 2 months. They're 12 months. 6 times 59 will get you to 354. The number 354 is basically 350, which is divisible by 7, and an additional 4. That gives you the discrepancy of 1 year to the next. There's a 4-day discrepancy, so that when Shavuos would begin, let's say, on a Sunday this year, it will be not 350 days later, which would have been a Sunday, because it's divisible by 7, but it's 350 plus an additional 4. The source goes on to say, V'im hoysa shana muperes chamisha. If it's a leap year, that means we add a month. Every time we add a month to a Jewish year, we're adding 29 days. 29 is, in fact, it's 28, which is divisible by 7, plus 1. So that's what it means here. You're adding another day of discrepancy. There'll be 5 days of difference between the day of the week a holiday falls out in year one relative to the day of the week it'll fall out on year two. Well, as we explained earlier, Meisvei. This Meisvei is a challenge going back to Rav Acha, who said that you blow separate blasts on for each Musaf on a day when there are multiple Musafim. Now, it says, and we should add, that when a Korban Musaf was offered, there was a shir, literally a song, a passage that was recited by the Levium when the Korban Musaf was offered. Now, what does it say in this source? Rosh Chodesh, Shechalios B'Shabbos. You have essentially a day that there would be two, there are in fact two Musaf offerings. Our question is, are there additional shofar or additional trumpetings per Musaf? So it says here, when Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Shabbos, Shir Shel Rosh Chodesh Doiche Shir Shel Shabbos. The Shir, the passage that's recited in honor of the Korban Musafs, only one is recited. The Rosh Chodesh supersedes the Shabbos Shir. Ve'i Isa, if, as Rav Acha taught, that each Musaf gets its own set of trumpetings, so there should be a separate shir recitation per sacrifice as well. Vim Isa lema de Shabbos v'lema de Rosh Chodesh. After all, the trumpetings were they were part of the shir, and if he is right that each separate Musaf gets its own trumpetings, each one gets its 9 trumpetings, so each one should get its own shir as well. And yet the source doesn't say that. Omar Rav Safra, my doiche. What does the word doiche mean? Doiche likadem. It means pushes ahead. It doesn't mean that it pushes it out. It pushes ahead. And what's the result of that? All that the source is saying, you are going to say both shears, and you'll have separate sets of trumpetings. All that it means is that you'll have Rosh Chodesh shear will be recited before the Shabbos shear. The Gemara asks, Vamai. That doesn't, why should that be? That's not in accordance with the rules of precedence. Todir, Vesheno Todir. If you have two candidates, and one is a more frequent thing than the other, Todir Kodem. Now, Shabbos versus Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos is every week. Rosh Chodesh is only once a month. So the Todir should be Kodem. Therefore, why would you say that the Rosh Chodesh should be said first? There's an answer for that. True, there's a rule, Todir Vesheno Todir the Kodem. However, we have a special need for having the Rosh Chodesh recited. First, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Leida Shehukda Rosh Chodesh Bizmano. By having the Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Chodesh Shir recited before the Shabbos Shir, that will let the public know that Rosh Chodesh was established on its right time, or its official time, which would mean on day 29. That day, or I should say on day 30, meaning that the previous month was 29 days, and what they thought would be day 30 really was declared to be Rosh Chodesh. That's Rosh Chodesh Bizmano. And how would they know that it was established on day 30, which makes it into day 1, and not waiting till the next day? Because they will have heard the Rosh Chodesh Shir being recited before the Shabbos Shir. The Gemara asks, V'hai hekeiro avdinon ho'akira chriyito avdinon. Is this the sign? Heker means something you recognize. Is this the sign to make you recognize that Rosh Chodesh was established Bizmano? There's another sign for that, Disnan, and this source will tell us. The source says, Chelvei Tomid Shel Shachar Nitnin Mechatsi Kevesh Ulemata Bamizrach. This has to do with the bringing of the limbs of the sacrifices to the altar. And each sacrifice had its own location where the limbs were placed on the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach, and then a separate set of Kohanim would take it from where they were left up to the very top. And it says here that the daily morning sacrifice limbs, Nitnin Mechatsi Kevesh Ulemata Bemizrach, they were placed on the lower half of the ramp, on the eastern side of the ramp. V'shel Musafim, the Musaf sacrifices, you can have a situation where it's kind of this type of backup, and they didn't finish burning the daily morning sacrifice until they already had the limbs of the Musaf sacrifice there. And it's very important that the things are done in order, namely that the Tomit Shel Shachar limbs are offered first, so as to prevent confusion. Each sacrifice had its own limb location. We already said that the Tomit Shel Shachar limbs were placed on the eastern side of the ramp, halfway down. And Vishel Musaf and Mit Mechatzi Kevesh Lamata Bemarov, and the Musaf limbs were placed less than halfway up the ramp, on the western edge of the ramp. Vishel Rosh Chodesh Nitnin Tachas Karkoiv Hamizbeach Ulamata. And Rosh Chodesh Musaf sacrificial limbs were placed Tachas Karkov. Karkov was a type of decoration that surrounded the Mizbeach a bit above the halfway mark of the Mizbeach. So the limbs of Rosh Chodesh were placed and on the ramp. Tachas Karkov gets you, without getting into details, but that gets you to the a little more than halfway up the ramp. Rashi says, "Dahinu b'chatsi ho'elyon shel kevesh," and that's where the Rosh Chodesh sacrifice limbs were placed. The Omar, we continue at the top of Daf Nun Hey. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Leida Shehukba Roish Chodesh Bizmano. When the limbs are placed over there, it's a sign to the public that Rosh Chodesh was declared a new month on what was thought to be day 30. It's announced that no, it's not day 30 of the previous month, but now it's considered day 1. And that the previous month was a 29-day month. This is day 1 of the new month. So as far as having the Rosh Chodesh Shir recited before the Shabbos Shir for the purpose of Heker, that it's Nikba Bizmanoi, I don't need that. I have the limb placement for that purpose. One says, no, one does not exclude the other. Trei Hekeru Avdinon. There were two methods of announcing this, or of demonstrating that Rosh Chodesh was established Bizmano. Why do you need two methods of demonstration? The Chozi Hai, Chozi, the Chozi Bahai, Chozi. He who sees this one sees this sign. He who sees the other sign sees the other sign. In other words, we want to cover all bases, make sure that everyone gets the message. So certain people will see this, and other people will notice the other one. So far, if you're keeping score, Rav Acha Bar Chanina is saved, is salvaged. We try to attack him with this number 3 source, with the Shir Shir Rosh Chodesh Doche Shel Shabbos, and we showed that Doche doesn't mean pushed away, but it means pushed ahead. Meisvei, question 4. Detoni Rava Bar Shmuel. Yochel, he teaches the following source, says, Yochel Keshem Shetoken Al Shabbos Bifnei Atzmoi, the Al Rosh Chodesh Bifnei Atzmoi. Is it such that just like we have a set of 9 blasts for the Korban Musaf when Shabbos is by itself, and likewise when Rosh Chodesh is by itself in the middle of the week, an additional set of, there's 9 blasts for the Rosh Chodesh Musaf, Kach Yutoken Al Kol Musaf U Musaf? Would there be blowings for each musaf? And which would mean, if you have a day that has multiple musafim, will they each one get its own set of blasts? Tamad loimar uvaroshei chodshechem. Now, without trying to see the proof in this particular pasuk, the answer is no. There isn't multiple blasts for each musaf when they occur on the same day. Tiufta the Rebbe Acha Tiufta. This is a refutation of Rav Acha Bar Chanina. We have a bracketed section. If you skip that, you notice we got right to a new diamond. The old Tanya. And if you skip further down the page, you see again a dashed underlined Tiufta the Rav Acha Bar Chanina Tiufta, a second refutation. So hopefully the structural note we just made is clear. That having been said, let's go back to the upper part of the page. So we have this source that ended by saying Tamalom of Roshei Chodshechem, that there is not a separate blowing for multiple musafim when they come out on one day. The Gemara asks, "My Talmuda, how do you see in the words of Roshei Chodshechem this point, the denial of multiple shofar trumpetings for each musaf when they come out concurrently?" Omar Abaye, Omar Kraw. You'll notice we call Abaye number 1. There are 2 approaches to how you see this point in the pasuk. The pasuk says, Uvroshei chodshechem, hukshu kol chadoshim kulam ze loze. All Rosh Chodeshes are compared to one another. They should all be equal. Well, your standard Rosh Chodesh has only one musaf, and that would result in one set of trumpetings. 9. All Rosh Chodeshes have to be the same. All of them having just one set of 9. And so again, Uvorot Sheichot Sheichem is a pasuk that tells you compare all Rosh Chodeshes to one another. So just like most Rosh Chodeshes have just one set of shofar blowings for the Musaf, of trumpetings for the Musaf, so even when there are multiple Musafim, there will only be one set of trumpetings. And that's against Rav Acha. Rav Ashi Yomar, Ksiv Chodeshechem Uksiv Uvoroshe. It says on Chodeshechem is your new month, and it says Roshay. Roshay is double. It's a plural. Two heads. Ve'ezeh chodesh yeshlo shnei roshim. Which holiday, Rosh Chodesh has two heads to it? If I'm not mistaken, you see the word Chodeshechem means one month, and it's in the singular, as opposed to with a yud in it, it would be plural. Chodeshechem is, as Rashi does say this, he says it's choser, means your month in the singular, and roshay is plural, two heads for one month. When does that happen? Ve'ezu chodesh yesh l'shnei roshim. Hevei omer ze Rosh Hashanah. It's Rosh Hashanah. Why is that? Because Rosh Hashanah is the new year, but it also is the new month, it's the beginning, it's ahead of a new month. V'yomer Achmona Chodeshechem Chad Hi. And the Torah writes the word in the singular, indicating, we should have emphasized that this pasuk is in the context of tekiois, of the blasts. So being that it's written in the singular, it means only one set of blasts, even though there are two musafim on that day. So that shows us how you see in the pasuk the idea of singular set of tekiois, even though there are multiple musafim. And that is, again, we're repeating ourselves, that's a refutation of Rav Acha. The Oid Tanya, we have another source, and it says B'cholel Shomoyed. This source goes through the special shirim, the shir that is said in the context of the Musaf offering, and it goes through each day of Sukkot had a special shir, and we're dealing with Chol HaMoed. B'Chol HaShemoed, there are 6 days of Chol HaMoed. So Barishon, first day of Chol HaMoed, Mahu Omrim, Havu Lashem Bnei Elim. Rashi, by the way, has an extensive explanation of why each one of these passages was chosen. We're not going to get into that, because we have a special point we want to emphasize, and you have to wait till the end of the source to get to that point. So for our purposes right now, there's a list of shirim. The circling of the letters will have value later when we get into the Gemara, but first let's go through the source. The source continues, B'sheni, the second day of Chol HaMoed, Mayu Omrim, Ula Rosha Omar Elokim. B'shlishi Mayu Omrim, Mi Yokum Li Imraim. B'rvi Mayu Omrim, Binu Boyarim Ba'om. B'chamishi Mayu Omrim, Hasiroisi Mishlevel Shechmoi. B'shishi Mayu Omrim, Yimoytu Kol Moste Oretz. V'im Chal Shabbos Be'echod Mehem, if Shabbos happens to coincide with one of these days of Chol HaMoed, Yimotu Yidoche. Yimotu is the last day, the sixth day of Chol HaMoed, that won't be recited. In other words, you'll end up saying the Shabbos Shir and not the Sukkot Musaf Shir. It's only one Shir, and whatever day of Chol HaMoed Shabbos comes out in, the next day will be what should have been recited the day before had it not been Shabbos. So by following that scheme of things, the last day, which was Yimotu Kos, won't be recited. So what do we see then? We see Shabbos cancels the recitation of the Shir that was for the Sukkot Musaf. And we remember before we pointed out that the the trumpeting was along with the shir. But there's only one shir, there's only be one trumpeting. Tiufta, we skip the brackets here, the bracketed section, three lines. Tiufta the Rav Acha Bar Chanino, Tiufta. This is a definite refutation of Rav Acha. Within the brackets, you'll see there's just a, it's a type of focus on the shirim in abbreviation terms. Rav Safra Monach Behu Simona. The order of the shiure of the shirim, he uses an abbreviation to remember the order, and he says Hom Behi. That in the bays and the hay, you can see we've highlighted, indicating that the fourth day is in fact Binu Boarim. The bays is Binu, and the hay is for the Hasirosi. These are circled above. So Rav Safra, in order to remember the order, he gives you those letters, each letter corresponding to the beginning letter of each one of the shirim that we saw above. Rav Papa Monach Bu Simona Hom Habi. The Simonech, and to remember his approach, remember Ambuha the Safri. Again, he gave a different, abbreviation. The bays, though, comes before the hay. There's a point we failed to mention just now, but we have to emphasize this. Rav Papa's order is different than Rav Safra's order. You'll notice he has Hom Habi. The hay comes before the bays, indicating that Hasirosi will come before Binu Boarim in Rav Papa's scheme of things. The Simonech Ambuha de Safri. In order to remember that Rav Safra says that the Binu Boarim comes before the Hasirosi, remember this. Ambua is a type of, it's an alleyway where schools were located, and Safri is where elementary education is. The Safri are teachers of children, so it's an alley where teachers of children are, an alley where schools were located. And the word Safri is like the word Safra. And in the word Ambuha, you see the bays comes before the hay, which will help you to remember that Rav Safra's Shita is that Binu Boarim comes before Hasirosi. And as we mentioned before, this source that indicates Yidoche, that the shir that would have been said on that given day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos is pushed off, because it's Shabbos, and the Shabbos shir is recited, the Sukkos shir is not recited, and those correspond to the blasts. Only one set of blasts, of Musaf blasts, are sounded, and not two. Tiufta de Rav Acha Bar Chanina Tiufta. This is a refutation of his Shita. The Gemara asks, V'ha Rav Acha Bar Chanina Kro Umasnisa Komar. But Rav Acha Bar Chanina, when he presented his position back on the Afnun Dalet Amud Aleph, he brought a Tanaic source. And he had a Pasuk to back him up. The answer is as follows. There are two answers. Omar Ravina. Ravina says that the source that had said Hakol Lufi Hamusafin, and Rav Acha gave his explanation to that. No, it doesn't mean like he said that Hakol Fi Musafin, every Musaf gets its own trumpeting. Rather, Loimar Shema'arifin Betkios. All it means is that on a day when you have multiple Musafim, they will draw out the blasts longer than usual. Rabbonin de Kesri Mishmeder of Acha Amri Lomar Shemarbe Betokin. All it means is that you have more trumpeters there, but not additional sets of nine, additional sets of nine blasts. That not. So at this point, what have we discovered? We heard Rav Acha bar Chanina. He said separate sets of blasts per musaf when there are multiple musafim on one day. We show you here on Daf Nun Hey two sources that refuted his position. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.